Welcome to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Russ White. And welcome to Commencement Week at Michigan State University. In honor of the occasion, we're going to hear three recent classic MSU commencement addresses on the show today from Magic Johnson.
And now, with this special degree that you're getting ready to receive, go out and do something special in the world, because that's what Spartans do. They do something special.
Mitch Albom.
Sees life with vigor, young Spartan friends. Sees it with compassion, and always sees it with love.
And Barry Gordy.
So don't judge yourself by other standards. Have your own.
MSU Today begins at 4:06. This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. We're hearing classic MSU commencement addresses on the show today, like this one from December 2010 from native son Irvin Magic Johnson.
Let me say that God is so good. Man, I tell you, I cannot believe that coming through these doors in 1978 and having a chance to be a Spartan and then to lead our incredible university to the national championship in 1979 and to come full circle and become a doctor at the university that I love. This is just incredible. It really is. I want to thank President Simon and the Board of Trustees, this incredible faculty that you have here, and all the parents and family who have drove here from a long way to support your loved one, and of course, the class of 2010, I say congratulations. I want you to be about more than making money. I want you to reach back and give back to your community and touch that community in a positive way. I don't want you to worry about the things that you can't control. Only worry about the things you can control. For example, you can't control if your boss will like you or not. But you can control if your boss respects you or not. And how can you do that? By being the first one to work and the last one to leave. How can you do that? By driving ROI at the company that you work for. How can you do that? By being self-motivated, by bringing passion and excitement to your job. How can you do that? By adding value to the company that you work for. And how can you do that? By making yourself indispensable at that company. If you do those things, you will be an unbelievable worker at the place that you get your job or start your career. I was driving here and I was saying, Spartans, what does Spartans stand for? Well, the S to me, it stands for successful. I'm looking at all these incredible successful people. P stands for prepared. This faculty right in front of me have prepared you for not only your job, but for life. A stands for ambitious. A Spartan is always hungry and always wants more. R stands for ready. And a prime example of being ready is last season when Kalen Lucas went down and Coach Izzo pointed to Corey, get on in there, son. You have to lead us to the Final Four. Was he ready? Yes, he was. Did we go to the Final Four? Yes, we did. So you have to be ready at all times. Then T stands for trust. If your boss trusts you, you will go a long way in the company that you work for. In the same way we saw our great football team go to Penn State, every player had to trust each other. When Cousins dropped back, he knew that the line would protect him. He knew that the running back would pick up the blitzer. He knew that the receiver would run the correct route. And when he threw it to him, he knew he would catch the ball. That's why we end up winning at Penn State and becoming Cole Big Ten champions. And let's give it up for our football team because they were amazing. A stands for ambitious. I'm sorry, I already said that one, huh? A stands for artistic. Make sure you paint the picture that you want your career to go like. For me, I wanted to play in the NBA as well as become a CEO. And I was able to do those two things. Never let anybody put you in a box or tell you what you can do. Make sure you paint your own picture and go your own path and continue to think outside the box. And then N stands for newsworthy. The other people who got these honorary degrees all have made great news. We have a woman who won the Nobel Peace Prize. We had a gentleman who made sweet music around the world. And then we had another gentleman who runs the biggest company in the world, GE. Make sure that you are up on that board. If they have an employee of the week, employee of the month, make sure that you are one of them. If they have a newsletter, meaning that you have done something great at your job, make sure that you are in that newsletter. And then S stands for special, because everybody that comes on this campus that goes to Michigan State University, they're special. This is your special day. You have special parents and family and friends. And believe me, you're special. And now, with this special degree that you're getting ready to receive, go out and do something special in the world. Because that's what Spartans do. They do something special. We win, we conquer, and we're so competitive. May God bless you. Good luck, class of 2010.
Hearing classic MSU commencement addresses on MSU Today Today on AM 870 WKAR. That was Irvin Magic Johnson's December 2010 address. A year later, Mitch Albom delivered this classic address in December 2011.
Distinguished guests, faculty, relatives, graduating class, and last but not least, the bill payers, mom and dads. Good morning to all of you. I have 12 minutes. That's what they told me. 12 minutes to get you ready for the big wide world out there. 12 minutes to impart the wisdom of the ages. I mentioned this to my wife last night, and she said, "That's easy. Just don't do what Snooki did." And that may be the smartest advice I can give you in life. And now I have 11 and a half minutes. That's okay. It's plenty of time. plenty of time to warn you about something strange that will happen to each and every one of you later today. When you break from this ceremony, you will hug loved ones, you'll shake hands with well-wishers, you'll feel as if you're meeting and greeting the entire world. But if you look very carefully out of the crowd, you'll spot one more person coming towards you. This person will look vaguely like you, only the hair will be thinner, the face will be more wrinkled, the midsection a little thicker, the clothes a few sizes larger. This person will walk straight towards you, ignoring others, because this person cannot be seen by anyone else. This person will grab your hand, look you in the eye, then whisper something into your ear. And it will be the most important words you will ever hear. This person is you, 30 or 40 or 50 years from now. Come back to tell you how you turned out. I know, I have revisited myself on my own graduation day 35 years ago. I carried in my arms the precious lessons learned from my mistakes, from experience, and from teachers. One of those teachers was a college professor, like some of you in the audience. His name was Maury Schwartz. We were very close back in our university days. We even walked around campus, ate meals together. He tried to teach me all the time, even when we were eating. Follow your heart, he'd say. Follow your dreams. Give to your community. Be part of the human family. He got so excited, had always had these huge ideas, but sometimes he forgot to chew. And he used to eat these egg salad sandwiches. And these little yellow projectiles would come flying out of his mouth. I should have paid more attention to the words, not the spittle. Instead, after graduation, I lost touch with him for 16 years. 16 years without even a phone call, while I chased my ambition and my accomplishments. Then one day in my late 30s, in my very comfortable home, in my very comfortable suburb, I saw him on television, talking about what it was like to die from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. He only had a few months left on this planet. I flew to see him. He was in a wheelchair, already unable to move most of his body. I must have looked like I felt sorry for him because he smiled at me and he said, "Mitch, dying is only one thing to feel sad about. Living unhappily is another." I wish I had known that lesson when I wore a younger man's robe on a day like you're having today. Maury also taught me about giving. I watched visitor after visitor come by to try to cheer him up. They'd walk in with a strategy, jokes, photos, funny stories. The door would close. An hour later, they'd emerge in tears. But they'd be crying about their divorce, their love life, their job. And I saw this happen so often that I finally went into Maury and I said, "I don't get it. They come in to cheer you up. You start talking to them. And eventually you're cheering them up. If anyone," I said, "had finally earned the right to say, 'Let's not talk about your problems. Let's talk about my problems,' it would be you. If anyone has earned the right to say, 'You think you got it bad. Look at me. I'm dying. I can't move.' You hit the mother load of sympathy," I said. "Why don't you use it?" And he looked at me sadly and he said, "Mitch, why would I take from people like that? Taking only makes me feel more like I'm dying. Giving makes me feel like I'm living. Giving makes me feel like I'm living." It is a profound sentence. It also rhymes, so it's easy to remember. Giving is living. And it's true because the opposite is false. Taking does not make you feel alive. I have seen how empty it feels when you just take a new car, a new piece of furniture, a bigger TV set. Sure, it's fun, but it's over quickly. But when you give, when you hand a homeless man a plate of food, when you hug an orphan who hasn't felt the mother's or father's arms in years, when you simply give a boost to someone who's low and they say thank you, and you get that little tingle in your stomach, that's being alive. And Maury was right. Only giving gives you that feeling. Giving is living. And I had to come back and tell my younger self that when I was wearing the robes that you wear today. Maury used to share this other little story over and over because it made him smile even as he was dying. It was a story of two waves splashing around, doing what waves do. And all of a sudden, one of the waves sees the shore coming, and it starts to panic. "What's the matter?" the other wave says. "Why are you so upset?" "This is terrible," the first wave says. "You don't understand. We're waves. We'll hit the shore, and a few more flips, and we're finished." "No, you don't understand," the other wave said. "You're not a wave. You're part of the ocean." And then Maury would say, "You get it? Part of the ocean?" And I'd say, "Yeah, Maury, I got it. I got it the first 100 times you told me this story." But it is a beautiful story. Because we all splash around. We all flip to our own tunes. But while we may feel like the most important wave in the world, the fact is we are, you are, part of something bigger, part of the human ocean. We are connected, and because we are connected, we owe each other something. So many people today will tell you, you're special. Well, you are special, but so is the next person. You're not special at his or her expense. You are not special because you pound your chest after an achievement. You are special because you're part of a team that helped you do it. You're not special because you start a company that rakes in money. You're special to be part of a country that allows you the freedom to do that. You're not special because you graduated, but you are part of something special at this university, a great university. And you are part of something special in this state, Michigan, a great state, one that has every right to be proud, no matter what East or West Coast cynics may say. And while we're on that subject, please remember this. Cynicism is not wisdom. It's just cynicism. Snarky does not make you smart. It just makes you snarky. Somewhere along the way, I think between Simon Cowell and TMZ, meanness became a celebrated trait in this country. Don't celebrate it, because it's not. When you get older, you see meanness for what it is. Meanness. And you'll feel silly for thinking you were so unique, you earned the right to behave like a jerk to someone else. I have told my young self that when I revisited me on the day you celebrate today. Quick last lessons in the 3 minutes I have left. One, Woody Allen once said, "I don't believe in the afterlife, but I'm taking a change of underwear just in case." Good lesson, be prepared for anything. Two, graffiti on a wall once read, "God is dead," and underneath it said, "Nietzsche." Next to it was written, "Nietzsche is dead," and underneath it said, "God." Good lesson, remember who's in charge. Three, the finest philosopher I ever knew, my mother, once said, "If you have two true friends in your life, you'll be lucky." This was obviously before Facebook. But friending is not friendship, and texting is not conversation. Be human with people. Look them in the eye. Speak to them face to face. Make a few good friends, real ones, three-dimensional ones, and do everything it takes to keep them, including occasionally leaving the house. Finally, one last lesson from an old dying clergyman who became the subject of the story, Have a Little Faith. We were talking about happiness, the secret of happiness, one time when he was in the hospital after suffering a stroke. He was close to 90 years old. He heard a baby crying out in the hallway, and he said, "Ah, do you hear that infant?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Did you ever notice how when babies come into the world, their little fists are clenched like that?" "Yeah," I said. "That's because babies don't know any better. And they come into the world thinking they're going to take everything. But look at me. I'm an old man, and I'm going to die soon. And how am I going to die?" And he opened his palms like that. "That's because," he said, "when we reach the end, we finally realize we can't take anything with us." We sat quietly for a minute, and then to break the silence, I said, "So, have we solved the secret of happiness?" "Yes, we have," he said. "Are you going to tell me?" "Yes, I will," he said. "Are you ready?" "Ready," I said. "For the secret of happiness? Definitely, I am ready. Go ahead." "Be satisfied." "That's it," I said. "Be grateful." "That's it. For all the love you receive and for all God has given you." "That's it," I said. "That's it," he said. I have whispered that in my young ear many times when my future self comes back to my graduation day when I wore the younger man's robes. You may notice this speech, now down to its final minute, contained no reference to the challenge of society or how our generation is counting on your generation to make the nation strong and great and powerful. That's because you can't have a great nation full of less than good people. Be human, be good to each other, and the nation will be great as a result. What will your future self tell you today when it comes back through those doors and over the hill, looking only for you? My guess is it may whisper these instructions. Don't lose sight of who you are. Don't stop dreaming big. Don't let people tell you to get real, if getting real is a code word for getting cynical, getting insensitive, or getting too busy for people who truly matter in your life. Your children, your spouse, your friends, your old professors. When later today that future you comes walking towards you and he or she whispers in your ear, this is what you want it to say. "Hey, kid, you turned out all right. You've helped others. You've stayed true to your ideals. You lived with a whole heart. You've touched the world. You've made Michigan proud. You've made Michigan State proud. And most importantly, you didn't do what Snooki did." I hope and pray your visitor from the future is smiling when he or she comes. You have the chance to ensure that with every decision you make from now on. Seize life with vigor, young Spartan friends. Seize it with compassion and always seize it with love. Good luck and God bless you all.
Thank you, Dr. Album. Let's also give him another round of applause. He's on his way to Haiti this afternoon.
That was Mitch Album's December 2011 MSU commencement address. To hear it again, or to hear the one from Magic Johnson we played earlier, please visit SpartanPodcast.com. In the 11-plus year history of SpartanPodcast.com, this is the most downloaded podcast. Motown founder Berry Gordy's May 2006 MSU commencement address.
When I was 8 years old, my life changed when Joe Louis knocked out Max Schmeling. That night, my family erupted with joy, jumping and hollering like a bunch of crazy folks. This was not only happening at my house, but all over Detroit, the country, and the world. This fight was perceived as a superpower contest between America, the land of the free, and Nazi Germany. And America had won. Joe Louis was a hero of all the people, and he was black like me. As I saw the joy in my family's faces, a fire started deep inside me that would never go out. How could I ever do anything in my life that could make this many people happy? I thought to myself. Growing up in Detroit, I have long admired Michigan State. President Simon, members of the Board of Trustees, distinguished faculty, honored guests, proud parents, and the stars of our show, the graduating class of 2006. Congratulations. You've done it. I want to thank this great university for awarding me this honorary degree and for giving me the opportunity to come back home. Hi, everybody. I'm home! It is appropriate that this degree is in the humanities because Michigan teaches you how to be human in the fullest sense, to be tough, tough enough to survive the winter weather, and tender enough to help other people when they're down on their luck. Today, I want to talk about you and me, your dreams and my dreams, but mostly yours, because you control your destiny, perhaps a lot more than you think you do. Of course, luck plays a part in everything, but many times we make our own luck, the path you take in life is important. You're already on the right road because you spent at least the last 4 years at here at State. Growing up not too far from here gave me the best foundation I could have had. The grit, the glamour, the strong work ethic, and the competitive spirit that is Detroit prepared me for anything I would have to face in life. I got a job at Ford Assembly Plant, and every day I watched how a bare metal frame rolling down the line would come off the other end, a spanking brand new car. Wow, what a great idea. Maybe I could do the same thing with my music. Create a place where a kid off the street could walk in one door, an unknown, and come out another door, a star. That little thought that came to me while running up and down that assembly line at Ford Motor Company became a reality that you now know as Motown. And my mother was right again. She had always told me, nothing you learn is ever wasted. She had tried so hard to make me do well in school, but the closest I came was learning to say my ABCs backwards. And it impressed everybody. I would rattle them off at the drop of a hat for anyone who was interested. But what they didn't know was I had trouble saying them frontwards. My father, Pop, only went to the third grade, but he was the wisest man I ever knew. He taught me to keep everything simple. 2 and 2 will be four. He also told me, you can only be truly happy if you are proud of yourself. It doesn't matter how many other people are proud of you, you have to be proud of yourself. I always remembered that. But as a kid, the only thing I was proud of was my music. I bugged everybody to listen to my new songs. When people saw me coming, I'd hear them say, here comes Junior with another one of those songs. Then all of a sudden, they would sort of disappear. So I came up with a plan to listen to other people and their problems first. And maybe then they would hear some of my songs. My plan worked, but too well. I got hooked on people. I learned that many were afraid they wouldn't be loved for themselves if they exposed who they really were. But I knew that if they acted like themselves long enough, the right person would come along and love them for the right reasons. I believe that theory so much that I write my very first complete song entitled, You Are You. The first verse read, you are you, that makes you best of all. You are you, that's all that matters to me. You are you, and only you can be the one I love and yearn for, the one that my heart burns for. Yes, you are you, and that makes you best of all. I loved it. I was so thrilled and excited that I had written my first very complete song that I wanted to get it recorded by one of the biggest stars of the time. I simply put on the envelope, Doris Day, Hollywood. And mail it off. I knew she would die to record it. I never heard back from her. But I knew at the time I had come up with one of the great themes of life, the importance of being yourself. You all can be experts at that because I know you can be you better than anybody. No one else has your look, your smile, your feelings, your mind. You gotta use them. A young Marvin Gaye came to Motown, insisting that he wanted to be another Frank Sinatra. Now, Marvin was one of the purest artists I'd ever known, but boy, was that guy stubborn. He demanded that his first album be all Frank Sinatra-type songs. He was such a great singer, so I had to give him a chance. When the album didn't sell, or a better way to put it, went double plastic, Marvin then became a lot more of a listener. And then we put out a song more true to who he was. It was a big hit and aptly entitled, Stubborn Kind of Fella. So to all you parents out there, if you've got a stubborn kind of kid, there may still be hope. And to your graduates, while you're out there in the world being yourself, don't let others' limitations limit you. I was a failure at everything I ever did till I was 29. I just didn't know it because I was having so much fun trying new stuff. In those days, if it hadn't been done before, it was taboo. So don't judge yourself by other standards. Have your own. And don't get caught up into the trap of changing yourself to fit the world. The world has to change to fit you. And if you stick to your principles, values, and morals long enough, it will. But it is vital that you clearly define what they are and always keep them as your foundation. In the early days of Motown, the British government station, the BBC, refused to play our records, always trying to find a better way. We contacted pirate radio ships who were broadcasting off the coast of England and Holland. We bought 10 minutes of commercial time and played 3 of our records, which were then picked up by Radio Free Europe. Finally, the BBC caved in and Motown went international. We stuck to who we were at Motown and the world came around. I'm often asked, if you started today, would you be as successful as you were in the 60s and 70s? I don't know that I would be as successful, but I do believe I would do well, because the world changes, but principles always stay the same. Our principles were clarity of purpose, creativity, truth, and trust, and most importantly, logic was always the boss, and everyone knew it. I was in charge, but I made logic the boss. There were no company politics and egos allowed. It was all about the work, the product, creativity, and vision. It was about family. At Motown, we worked hard to deliver things to people: joy, love, desire, emotions that they felt but couldn't always express. So when the world changes, you change your motto, your style, not your principles. Success. What is success? I say happiness. Happiness, I say, is when you accomplish that childhood dream, that yearning inside you. Mine was to make other people happy. That turned out to be the most commercial thing there was. Bringing out the talent of others, making other people shine, made me shine more than I could have ever shined in any other way. And I'm grateful to them. I know today some of you graduates are feeling a great sense of relief because it's over. Others, pride for all you've accomplished so far. And still others, anxiety of what lies ahead. And I'm sure some of you just have finish line shock. Whatever it is, you'll be fine if you stay ahead of the curve, trust yourself, have fun, keep it simple, and don't let others' limitations limit you. Which reminds me, the Beverly Hills police stopped me one night because they thought I was driving under the influence. I wasn't, but I had had a glass of wine. They asked me to walk a straight line. I did. They asked me to touch my nose. I did. Then they asked, "Can you say your ABCs?" With a little smirk on my face, I said, frontwards or backwards? They looked at each other, and one said, "Okay, wise guy, do it backwards." So I rattled them off and went home. So you see, whatever you learn is never wasted. So I would like to say to you graduates, go on and do all those great things you're going to do in your life, but it wouldn't hurt to remember ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA. Thank you. Thank you all.
That was Motown founder Berry Gordy's May 2006 MSU commencement address. To hear it again, or to hear the addresses we played earlier in the show from Magic Johnson and Mitch Albom, please visit SpartanPodcast.com. This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Recorded several years ago by a group of singers who are very inspirational for our careers because they influenced Brian Wilson and his writing. Their group is the Four Freshmen, and their song that we'd like to sing right now is called Graduation Day.
There's a time for joy, a time. Graduation Day.
MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today. Michigan native and MSU alumnus Joshua Davis jumped at the chance to appear on NBC's The Voice last season, even though he wasn't familiar with the show.
I never seen the show before. I had kind of a distaste for reality television in general, and it's not really something that I was into at all. But we watched the show, and my nine-year-old, I felt comfortable with my nine-year-old watching it, and that was kind of a marker to me that it's a very supportive show. They focus on, positivity rather than knocking people down. It's a program about building people up.
Davis decided to be true to himself and dove into the opportunity. He finished third.
I did the best I could, and I did what I do, and I've been doing for 15 years, and it really paid off. And it's gained me a lot of national recognition. You can't buy that kind of press, and then now I'm just trying to shine a light on the great music scene that we have here in Michigan, trying to use the momentum in the right way with integrity, like I always have, working on new songs and going to put out some new music soon, but just touring around, traveling, playing music like I used to, just bigger stages and more interesting opportunities.
Ward up to Petticoat Lane. One man's joy has been another man's pain.
Joshua Davis says his advice for young people who want to break into the hyper-competitive music world is all about hard work.
I know that we can turn it around. There's one thing that I found. If there's a voice to give, singing a working man's hymn.
Even before The Voice, I worked as a full-time musician for 15 years, and I made a living and paid a mortgage, and that's something that is not a lot of people can say. And now it's even better than that. But I don't think I would be in the place that I am now if I hadn't put in the work. And it's about loving what you do, but working as hard as you can at it. Just continuing to push at it, If you really love something and you work super hard at it day after day, you can be successful at it. Every interaction that you have is an interaction that could possibly be a really important, hinge in your life or your career, whatever it is. And so I try to be, try to treat every relationship that I have with respect and try to hold that for myself. And I think that's been everything for me, is treating people well. And then you get treated well, and you're going to be supported by your community, and that's the only way it happens. So that's my advice: is treat people well and work really hard. That's classic advice, what I mean?
Davis learned about the importance of hard work during his time at MSU.
I was in the theater program here at State, and I learned about great work ethic. If you love something and you work hard enough at it, then you're going to be successful at it. And that's kind of what being a Spartan left me with, is that work ethic and the sense of community that's here. Here at Michigan State was also the start of my musical career.
Davis has added his personal flair to his alma mater's iconic MSU Shadows.
MSU, we love thy shadows. When twilight's silence falls, flushing deep and softly paling o'er ivy-covered halls. Or beneath the pines we'll gather to give our faith so true, sing our love for alma mater and thy praises, MSU.
feel honored. I feel honored by this. It's going to mean a lot to my family, to the people that, the alums in my family. You know, it means a lot to me. It's an important thing, and to be trusted with this piece of music this kind of like cornerstone of a community is really special, and I definitely don't take it for granted. I'm grateful for that. The minute I started working with the chords and arranging it, I knew it was going to be really nice, and it just kind of came out really sweet. It was really cool to work with a choir. It's not something that I do very often.
Davis was excited to update MSU Shadows, but wanted to be careful to remain true to the song's history and meaning to MSU alumni around the world.
It's got such a legacy, and it's such a there's so much weight attached to it, kind of. And there's so many, you know, when you talk to alumni, you know, the song means a lot to a lot of people. And so I think it's something that I wanted to make sure to handle in the best way possible, to handle gingerly, to play close attention, and to give honor to honor the past of it, its legacy, and to honor it, and not change it too much, but to change it enough that would maybe bring it to the present and make it more relevant for students right now, and to give it a more intimate kind of feeling, but to stick with that. You know, nostalgic, that sweet kind of narrative of the song that's just, you know, this reflection on years at school.
Visit joshuadavismusic.com. For MSU Today, I'm Russ White.
When from these scenes we wander and twilight shadows fade, our memory still will linger, where light and shadows play. In the evening oft we'll gather and pledge our faith anew, sing our love for alma mater, and thy praises end.
WKAR.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. To hear the show again, click on the radio tab at WKAR.org and scroll to MSU Today every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR.